We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Has everyone had their coffee, espressos this morning? Does anybody have one of those nights that might have kids where it's like, you've got stuff to do the next day, and then all of a sudden it's the first time ever in their life that they cannot sleep? So I put my youngest to bed at 8:30. I'm like, we're going to bed early. I'm going to bed by 10 o'clock. No. She wakes up, comes out of bed, I can't sleep. 1 o'clock in the morning. I counted to 1,000 trying to fall asleep, and it did not work. So I am hyped up on espresso right now, and I hope you are too. It's going to be good. Welcome to those streaming. We're excited to have you with us also. It's so much better here, but we're excited to have you with us and all of you here as well. So we're going to pray and get started. Jesus, we love you so much. We're thankful that we can get together on Sunday mornings and worship you without any issues, God. We're excited for just all that's going to happen today, and I just pray that you would speak through me and that everything would be awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Americans, we know how to party, right? Like, we're going to party today. We party and celebrate holidays just about every other month. I mean, National Ice Cream Day. We celebrate National Ice Cream Day, right? Think of all the different crazy, weird things that we now celebrate. But how well do we celebrate the good things in our life, in our personal life, the little things that we get right, that maybe you said no to something today, tomorrow it may be a struggle, and yesterday you couldn't, but today you said no, and that's a victory that you need to celebrate, right? We need to celebrate all the little things, because all we do is focus and magnify the bad things. We focus on, oh, I didn't say no to it today. So, oh, my world's falling apart, and I can't go on because I said no. But you know what? We need to celebrate every time you do say no. Or, you know, maybe it's a sickness that you're dealing with and you feel like it's never going to end. Well, celebrate the moment that you're feeling good and you can do something with your loved ones, or you can go out for a walk, or whatever it is that you have. Or maybe it's somebody that you work with that just drives you crazy and gets under your skin. But today you didn't say anything nasty. You didn't say anything to them. You didn't have a bad thought. So that's a victory, right? You were kind to them that day. So we need to get better at celebrating the small things. And it is so important to celebrate the small things that God has done in your life. And maybe you only celebrate them when it's complete. But it's going to change your outlook when we celebrate in the moment each little thing that God's doing. Don't wait for him to give you that big healing or that job or whatever else that you're looking for. You can find more joy and clarity in the chaos than when you're not always being negative, when you find joy in it. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. So when somebody asks you how you're doing, what is your response? Is it, I'm miserable, things are terrible, nothing's going right? Or is it, you know what, things are going good today, I had a good moment, this happened in my life. You need to think about when somebody asks how you are, yes, be honest, but don't always focus on what's bad. Everything in your life cannot be that horrible. Tell them it's good and Jesus has my back, and no matter what I'm going through, I've got this. Even if it's that, just be excited about the good things in your life. Today, I'll tell you what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating the little victories in one of my daughter's life. There's been some diagnoses that were said, and there's plans set. And although we're not excited about what we heard, we're still praising Jesus through it, that I know that he's good and he's bigger than anything that we're facing. I believe that a bigger victory is coming out of this story that we have, and I know that we're going to have the healings and things are going to be better. And does it break my mama's heart? Absolutely. Seeing the tears and the pain that come with some of these diagnoses. But I also know how good God is. And I know that he's got this. And you know, if you have a child that's struggling with something as well, why don't you give them scriptures and give them things to build them up so that they can fight it on their own time too? Because they need that just as much as we do. God is good, and I'm not going to turn my back on him because something bad is happening. It's not his fault that these are here. And God has done so much good in my life that why would all of a sudden just because, you know, think about it. If you had a friend and you're really good friends with them and something happens in your life, are you going to go and turn your back on your friend who has been there the whole time?
No, you're going to continue to love whoever, so why would you turn your back on God when he's done these amazing things in your life already? So we need to keep fighting and keep focusing on God and not getting upset with him when something bad happens. So now that you know what I'm celebrating, today I want to talk to you about celebrating the small things in your life. So number one, when celebrating the small things, you create a culture of gratitude. Whether it's a big thing or a small thing, choosing to thank God creates a culture. So Hannah in the Bible was so thankful to God that she fulfilled her vow to him. It says in 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 11, once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance on the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven armies, if you would look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire life, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. So a side story, backstory to Hannah, if you don't know, her husband had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, and she could not have children. Peninnah could, and she would taunt her and criticize her at meals, any chance she got that I can have kids and you can't. And when you couldn't have children back then, it was more of a, it was a bad thing in the eyes of people that you weren't good enough, that you couldn't produce the men, the next leaders in that family to do the father's thing. So it just horrible, horrible feelings for her that she got up and left the dinner table to go and talk to this, go to this tabernacle and pray. So in 1 Samuel 1:27, it says, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life, and they worship the Lord there. So what's beautiful about this story is that she did give her son back to Jesus. She gave him, just like she promised, she gave Samuel to Eli. And Hannah's praise wasn't just a reflection of an answer to prayer, but it preceded giving up her son. With all her heart, she praised God in the aftermath of turning over her biggest prayer request. So does your prayer and thanksgiving overflow from the good you had to let go of when maybe the sacrifice was a little difficult? Are you choosing to praise God now through it? Have you made promises to God that you haven't followed through with? Have you said you'd do things that you haven't done yet? Is there things in the church that, you know, like, I'm really good at that, but I am so afraid to do it. So, God, I'm going to do it. You're in that moment where you're feeling good, and you're like, yes, I'm going to get up there, and I can sing. And then as soon as the opportunity arises, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sing, and I've been there. But singing like chipmunks, it's not a bad thing when you start out. But we don't want chipmunk singers. So we need to choose to trust God with those steps. So if you've told God, I'm going to do it, he's not going to give you anything else until you do what you said you're going to do. Okay? So if you said, this is what I'm going to do for you, just do it. And don't be afraid to do it. You're going to get butterflies and all that stuff, and you just need to fight through them and just step out and do and follow the commitments that you told God. So number two, in celebrating the small things, the enemy flees. It says in 2 Chronicles 20:20-22, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king had appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. And at that very moment, they began to sing and praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. So they praised him, and they stepped out in what they felt that God was telling them to do. And he caused them to attack each other rather than Jehoshaphat and his people. So sometimes we have to celebrate the victory before it happens. We have to be praising God for those things that we're looking for the miracles, for whatever it is, because sometimes we have to fast. Sometimes we have to reach out to other people and pray with us. God, it's not always going to happen the second you say it, okay, here it is. There's times that you have to praise God through your struggles. Obeying and praying God is what got them their victory. If they didn't do that, what would have happened? The enemy doesn't want us to trust God. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to turn to our negative thoughts, in our fears, in sadness, but that's not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to spiral you down more into this deeper pit. So in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting ourselves, we need to choose to trust and follow Jesus. No matter what the storm may bring, you need to stay focused on him. When there's a tornado coming, you don't stand there and just allow it to come take you up. You go find shelter. You go find a ditch in the side of the road, which I still think that's really weird. Like, if it's a tornado and it's like, oh, here's the big hole. I'm gonna sit here. Like, how are you actually safe? I really enjoy the weather and stuff like that. But every time I've been in a situation where there was a tornado warning or any of that, I'm not calm and I freak out. So no thunderstorms and tornadoes today in Jesus' name. It's going to be awesome. But don't you ever think of that? Like, sometimes you're like, wow, find a ditch. It's still going to take me up. So resist. Don't allow negativity, anger, or fear to control you. Because all three of those will consume you. They will take over you and they will affect your loved ones. They'll affect your kids. They'll affect people you work with because you're constantly negative and fearful. And then it's like, okay, is there anything that you can find positive in your life? You need to resist every thought that is not of God. And then he will flee. The enemy won't stick around if you're fully immersed in your Bible, if you're reading, if you're worshiping. I mean, worshiping is my favorite thing to do. It may not be your favorite because maybe you can't sing, maybe it's not your forte, but we still need to do it. I remember the days of when I first started coming here and the band would sit together and then all of a sudden the band would come up and I'd be there amongst 25 chairs by myself, having to worship alone over here feeling like everybody was staring at me. Nobody was staring at me. I had really long hair, so I'd start out like this. I'm like, nobody can see me, so just kind of move my mouth. And then eventually the hands kind of went through the hair. And then eventually I got to here. So it doesn't matter where your hands are. We just need to be worshiping God how we do it. Open your mouth, put your hands out, and worship God. We just need to not be so fearful about what's around us. So like I said, even if that's not your thing, worshiping God, like putting on worship music, that is like what gets me out of my hardest times. So if you continue to do this, you're going to have no room in your head for these lies and distractions because you're going to have the right scriptures. Having scriptures to be able to fight off all these bad things that in the drop of the hat, you can just say this scripture or that scripture to fight off whatever you're doing. That's another way that he's going to flee because he knows that you have the truth in your head and there's nothing else he can do. So you need to show him who's boss in your life. So I've always told my kids since they were little that when they get scared or, you know, sometimes just in the middle of the night, you wake up and you're a little kid and you see a shadow and you don't know what it is. And like, oh, there's something in my room. Just to call the name of Jesus because there's so much power in his name. And not many people say Jesus. Normally when you hear Jesus, people kind of like, ugh, you know, because there's power in it. So when you're fearful, just call out Jesus' name. I've done it in my house before. Just pray over your house. Just pray in Jesus' name. And his name, it covers all. So in Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. So Jesus, I'm covered. And the godly run to him and they're safe. The devil doesn't like that name. Jesus is our safe place. Next, when celebrating the small things, number three, miracles happen. In Acts 16:25-26, it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. So the backstory to this is that there was a woman in the city who kept taunting them and telling everybody, these are servants of God, these are servants of God. And finally, Paul was like, enough. And he cast out the demon inside of her in Jesus' name. So this woman prior to was a fortune teller, and she had masters that she would tell fortunes for, and they would get paid. So what do you think happened when he cast the demon out of her? Now, she just lost. He made her masters lose everything. So they weren't getting their money anymore. They weren't getting what they wanted. So they ordered to have Paul and Silas beaten, thrown in jail, and shackled so that they couldn't escape. And after all that, or how many of us would be like, I quit. I'm done. Why would that happen, God? I did this for you, and now this is happening to me. Where are you, and why? Why, right? A lot of us might think that way, but they did the opposite. They praised God in that jail, and all the prisoners could hear it. They didn't turn their backs on him, and because of that, this massive earthquake comes. Every door opens. Shackles are gone. And because of their faithfulness, the jailer's full family got saved through it. So because he cast out this demon in Jesus' name, then these bad things happen, but then God was still there. He was there the whole time and then freed them after and got other people saved. So don't underestimate the power of celebrating in your darkest moments, because God is literally always there. He's crying with us. He's holding us, and sometimes we have to go through it to learn something out of it. But God's always there. I'll never forget when my stepfather was diagnosed with cancer. It was heartbreaking. And I remember thinking, like, I could get really depressed over this and wallow in it, or I could choose to find some joy in it. So I remember he wasn't eating, and he asked for Red Bliss potatoes on a sandwich with like turkey, all these random things. And I remember being so excited because I had prayed the night before that he would want something to eat. And so I went to the store and I found Red Bliss potato salad, totally not what he wanted. And I brought it home and I'm like trying to get the mayonnaise off and doing all this stuff. And just seeing him eat the few bites that he did was like, wow, this is so amazing. You know, or like when he was in the hospital and everything was failing. Kidneys, all that stuff, and the doctor's like, he needs to go on hospice. You know, this isn't looking good. So we had all the people in our world that we knew praying for him. And the next morning, he's sitting up in his hospital bed, happy, and the doctors are just like, what's going on? So he went home. You know, I was pregnant with Riley. He lived another 7 months. He lived long enough to see Riley, which was a huge thing for me. But I never stopped thanking God through any of it. And when he passed on, I celebrated the fact that I got to hear him give his heart to Jesus in the hospital room. I got to witness when I walked in, the look on his face, the joy, and the peace in his eyes that only God can give to somebody who's going to pass away. And that was the most fulfilling thing for me. And you may be thinking, yeah, but he still died. How can you find joy in that? I have joy in knowing he's in heaven. I know that he is pain-free. I know that he only got to know Riley for five, right? He only knew Riley for 5 months, and he adored her. And then he passed. And I have Toby and Taylor, who went from my womb to heaven, and I know he's got those grandbabies up there, and he's taking care of them till I can see them again. So I know he's got them up there with him, and I know I'm going to see him again. And he just puts a smile on my face knowing he's not in pain, that he's happy. So even in those really tough moments, you need to find the joy in those moments and celebrating those small things, because yes, he passed away, but we can still talk about him. I know where he is, and he's not suffering. So don't give up on the miracles you want to see in your life. Keep celebrating those small things, and they're going to happen. And it may not always be the way that you want it, but God's plan is perfect, and you're going to see this amazing thing come out of whatever your situation. So number four, when celebrating the small things, your perspective changes. When we focus on thanking God for the small things, it helps change our thoughts towards the rest of our situations. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Allow God to transform your thoughts Allow him to be in control of your situations. And always look for the joy and positivity in every situation you're in. No matter what I'm facing, I always find something to be joyful about. And it's not always easy. And sometimes I want to have a major pity party for myself and talk about all the things that are wrong. But I fight those feelings to find the joy. So you need to try and find those in your situations. For example, I had a tumor on my thyroid about 4 years ago. And I probably had it for about 8 years and I didn't know. And it was on my thyroid and my vocal cords are actually wrapped around it. And rather than thinking, because it creeped in, oh, you're never going to be able to sing again. You're not going to be able to do any of this stuff. But then I fought it off and I actually celebrated the fact that it wasn't cancer, it was benign. And if I could never sing again, at least I didn't have cancer. At least they found it in time and it didn't do any further damage. I could talk. Certain times of those surgeries, they can hit the vocal cord and then you can't speak at all. So I can speak, I can sing, and God was still good. So in that situation, people were praying for me, you know, and some people couldn't understand why I wasn't just healed. But the thing that they didn't know, and the doctors didn't even know at the time, was that it was wrapped around my umbilical cord. So I needed to go through the surgery for them to actually find where it was, and they even went in and had to go in another certain way. So it's like, just because you're not healed in that moment, surgery is okay. And then you find things you didn't know, and then the doctors corrected it, and I didn't have cancer. I can speak, I can sing, and nothing was taken away from me. So even in those kind of moments, you need to be thankful and trust God that you've got this. No matter what it is, you have my back. And I know for some that can be really difficult, but if you just do it and let God prove it to you, it's going to make it a lot easier. I also understand depression and the depths it can take you. I've been there. I struggled with it for a long, long time, but it wasn't until I really allow God into my life that this smile pretty much never leaves, and I have to actually apologize when I talk to people about serious things because I'm still doing this, and I can't help it. And I've actually helped Pastor Chad along the way because he used to not always smile, and so I'd kick him under the table when we're talking to people and, like, you know? We have a code now. We actually have a pillow in our house that says smile that he actually got for himself to help. So I can't help it. I'm just always smiling. But God restored me and brought me to where I am today. And does that mean the devil has not tried 1,000 times to get in my head, to get me to be depressed, to get me to be miserable? Yes, he has. He has tried and tried, and especially with all the things going on, it would be very easy for me to put on a sad song and slip right back into it. But every time that happens, it's a scripture, it's a worship song, it's focused on the good things that my child is not dying from cancer, that my child can live a fulfilling life, that she's going to be okay. It's just a journey we have to go through together, and it's just going to bring us closer to God in the process. So don't dwell on the things that you can't change, and think about all the things that are good. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So if it's good, acceptable, and perfect, it's from God. If it's anger, negativity, and fear, it's from the enemy. It's not from God. So take down the walls that you've built up. Stop choosing to believe that these are the cards you were dealt, and I'm just going to wither away here, and this is just the way it's going to be for the rest of my life, and no one's got my back, and I can't do this. Don't do that. Find the joy. Find the ways to celebrate, because that's not the life that God wants you to have. You're choosing to live that way. You're choosing to say, well, this is the way it is. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Or you can choose to move on and find all the positivities that you can and choose happiness. Choose joy, because it's just because those are the cards that were given, it doesn't mean it's the cards that are going to stay. When you're playing cards or poker or whatever, it's not like you have a bad hand the whole time. Eventually, you're going to pick up a card that's good, and maybe you win the whole thing, and you take all the pretzels and cookies on the table. I don't know. So you just need to know that just because you have this deck of cards, they can be changed. One card can come out, the next one you turn around, it's an ace, and you win the game. So number 5, when celebrating the source, Nope, when celebrating the small things, you remember your source. In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good thing deserves celebrating God, who is our source. Every good thing. Luke 17:11-19, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Don't forget when you receive your blessings, because 9 of those people who got healed never came back to thank Jesus. When God blesses you, give him the glory. It wasn't a coincidence that all those men lost their leprosy, because there was no cure for it. And if you notice, it says, as they were cleansed, meaning they were not healed instantly. They had to take a step out and do what God asked in order for them to be healed. So we need to remember, if he did that with these men who have lepers, what makes us think that there aren't certain steps we need to walk through for God to bring us to where we need to be? A lot of us at times want that instant healing, like right now, and we're in a generation where if it takes 30 seconds instead of 10 seconds, we're like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with this thing? Or like those of us that grew up with not being able to fast forward, and then like my kids, they're like, fast forward it, whatever. But I'm like, do you know what I used to have to do? I used to have to like plan it with my brothers. Okay, it's commercial. Who's going to get the snack? Run, get the snack. Okay, is it on yet? No? Okay, keep getting it. It's back on. Okay, snacker girl. Okay, no, I gotta go watch my show. That's what we had to do. And if it was our favorite show, we would take turns doing it. So you guys are lucky that you can pause, record, rewind, fast forward. If it's a good part, you're lucky. But it really is that way where we're just like, this is taking forever. Because he came back to thank Jesus, he received extra blessings. He received a deeper salvation with Jesus. His faith caused him to return and thank him, where the other men just wanted to be healed. The submission that he showed shows us that there was a soul healing moment, that he felt something and had to go back and thank him. We need to remember all that God has done in our lives, and just because there's a bump in the road, whatever the size, a pebble or a huge mountain, that God is still good and we still need him. He's going to get us through whatever comes. Praising him, showing up to church. It says in Hebrews 10:24-25, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion. Doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward. We need to be in church weekly. We need to spiritually grow, but we also need to grow together. If you're having a hard time, how is anybody going to know if you don't come tell somebody? So if you have something going on and you're like, nobody's reaching out to me, it's probably because you haven't told anybody and we don't know. We love all of you and we're praying for you, but we need to be in the house praising together, worshiping together, listening to the word together, and just building each other up, a smiling face. Maybe some of you don't see any smiling faces the whole week. Well, come to church and you're going to be with your church family and people who love you and care about you. I know that when my family was sick the entire month of April, I know there was a few other people in here who their families were sick too. Literally the entire month, every Sunday I was not here because it was stomach bugs and it was all just everything. And I remember, even though I could stream, which is awesome, I'm so glad we have it. If you're sick, you can't make it, you know, but there's nothing like being here, because even though I was streaming, I was dealing with kids getting sick. Then we all do it. I'm streaming, but then I'm getting distracted and like, oh, here's my phone. And then I catch myself scrolling through Facebook and I'm like, no, I need to put my phone down. Or catch myself, turn the TV on, reading. Like, I was not fully focused and I had to wait and go back and rewatch it because my mind was not there. When you're here focused, there's nothing distracting you. So, what small things can you celebrate today? What can you thank Jesus for right now in your seat? Like there's anything. Think about that. Find something today that you can be thankful for and celebrating those small things. Try to learn to find the joy in everything that you're going through. No matter how big or small, there's joy. Like last night with Kenzie not being able to sleep, I could have been, and I was thinking about my message, and I'm thinking like, okay, what joy am I going to find in this moment? Okay. Because I'm exhausted, it's late, I have to speak tomorrow, I wanted to be really awake. Okay, so my joy, all right, I'm snuggling with my daughter right now. That is joyful. I'm consoling her. Okay, it's joyful. I counted to 1,000 for the first time in my life. That was exciting. Really, it wasn't, because I was really hoping I'd fall asleep, and I didn't. So if you have a hard time asking, if you have a hard time finding these things, if you're just like, I cannot find joy in anything, well, then you need to ask God to reveal something to you. Or talk to a trusted friend and be like, this is everything going on. Help me find something to be joyful about in this. And I'm pretty sure that someone's going to be able to come up and be like, oh, you know what? Right there. Your kids were sick. You got to be with them. You know, or you're at work and all this stuff's happening, but your boss really likes you. Your customers love you. Your customers give good comments about you on the comment card. Or if you're having troubles at home, well, you know what? At least there's food on the table. It can be something as simple as that, but just find the joy, because when you find the joy, then you're not going to be dwelling in the sadness. So I just want to end with this. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 in the Message version. It says, with my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow and wonder and love before you, the Holy God. Yahweh, which is Jesus, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. You've healed me inside and out from every disease. You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. You've crowned me with love and mercy. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. I love this scripture. It just says everything that I feel. And this is a scripture that every time you're starting to go in those like moments, go back and read the scripture, because it talks about everything he's already done for you. God is so good. And just right now, I just want everyone to close your eyes, bow your heads.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.